Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And as for a certain New Jersey governor who did not get picked as Romney's running mate, there are some mysterious ads running on his behalf. Here to talk about them are New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon and WNYC's Bob Hennelly, Contributing Editor for Politics and Investigations. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Good morning.
Let's hear a few seconds of this ad that you've both been reporting on.
It's a new day in New Jersey. Governor Christie and reformers are moving us in the right direction. Three balanced budgets without raising taxes. Millions in wasteful spending cut. Chris Christie and bipartisan reformers are delivering results.
So, Bob Hennelly, what is this ad and why is it running when Christie is not up for re-election?
Well, it's thanks to the Committee for Our Children's Future, which is a 501c4 organized under the IRS code, an issue advocacy group that does not have to release its donors. And so the ad itself makes no reference to the fact that Governor Christie is a Republican, and indeed frames it in a kind of Reagan-esque Morning in America homage to bipartisanship. And so the only way you can really get a window into who's behind these ads is to, one, go to the webpage, because there's a prompt on the ads itself, and it's been running, you know, in Philadelphia and New York. Media market's the most expensive in the country. And if you see there's like a thing for ourkidsfuture.com, you go to that, then you will find a name of an individual. And basically, we went to the TV stations. We had to actually go to the broadcast outlets in New York to get a sense of who was behind it. There we found that the ad buy was being facilitated by an outfit called Jamestown Associates, which is a political media buying outfit, consultancy firm that Christie's used in his primary and his general election 2009. But again, the governor says he's not coordinating and has no knowledge of this group.
This is how this is the thicket of secrecy that people can advertise in around political issues in the current climate, Nancy. So after what Bob just said, what do you think is the bottom line? Who are these people and what do they want?
Well, we're still working on who they are, although, and Bob and our other reporter, Colby Hamilton, did a great job of digging up these connections to Governor Christie, a neighbor and someone who is a fundraiser for him, is involved in the Committee for Our Children's Future. I put a question to Christie at a press conference last week asking him if he was willing to disclose who is supporting this campaign.
And here is his response to you.
Listen, I don't have anything to do with the Committee for Our Children's Future. They're a group of great Americans who want to support someone who has great ideas. That's good for them. And as long as they're complying with the law, I think that's what they should do.
Now, some of the names, Brian, there is a spokesman on the website named Brian Jones and a phone number, a 703 number that was with a Virginia area code that was on the billing we got. I called that number and it answered BlackRock. And it turns out to be a political consultants firm, and the spokesman is Brian Jones, who'd been the former communications director for John McCain's presidential campaign. On the website for Our Children's Future, there's a letter from the president, Kevin Feeley, and it turns out that his home address in Bernardsville, which is next door to Mendham, is the street address for how these ads are filed in the TV stations. And also, his son was an intern for Governor Christie in 2010. So while the governor may not be coordinating with these people, he certainly knows who they are.
So, Nancy, here's a group that has been formally affiliated, some of these folks, with supporting Christie in the past, now doing an independent thing on the issue of public schools in some way, that is not officially affiliated with the governor, but he says they're great Americans. Is there a scandal here? I mean, it's all not surprising.
Yeah, well, I talked to several good government groups last week, and basically they call these ads sham issue ads because what people need to understand is, so a 501c4 is a nonprofit group, a charity, that is allowed to do political advocacy. So one of the folks I spoke to works at Common Cause, a good government group. They're a 501c4, but they don't run ads with the name of a candidate in them, or a name of a politician. So these ads, if you listen to them, you think you're hearing an ad mm-hmm. about Governor Christie.
So they want to try to strengthen Christie to what? Weaken the teachers union?
Yeah, I think it's what good government groups call the now perma campaign. Christie has been running a permanent campaign since he was elected. He's held, as Bob reported last week, he's held 88 town halls. We've got these ads. They've spent at least a minimum of $6 million in New York and Philadelphia to saturate the New Jersey television market on these ads. So he's running a permanent campaign. There's nothing illegal with running a permanent campaign, but the question is whether the money is moving out of PACs, where donors have to be disclosed, into this nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And nonprofits, mind you, they can do political advocacy. They can run issue ads. What they are not, but they are supposed to have the bulk of their fundraising and donations and the bulk of their budget go to public welfare activities. This is a political organization running these ads.
So, Bob, it sounds like there are some legal questions surrounding this group and groups like it, both with respect to whether they're doing enough social welfare work in addition to being political organizations, and whether it's legal to, in effect, be promoting a candidate or a politician rather than just an issue position.
I first want to go back to the efficacy of them. And what it's really doing is supporting Christie's narrative line. And that is the idea that he is seeking bipartisan. And there is truth in these ads. I mean, it's true that with Senate President Sweeney and Speaker Oliver, they did come up with a pension resolution. It is true that the state has moved towards landmark bipartisan teacher tenure reform. But what is that question is what Nancy was saying is where is the IRS in this? And how do we, you know, contrast, for instance, the fact that the teachers union, when they went against Christie, spent anywhere between $10 and $20 million in anti-Christie ads. In that case, it was very clear who the constituency was behind it, in the sense that people could take it with a grain of salt. Oh, that's the teachers. Or they could, as one of the analysts we said to, they could espouse it, but they knew where it was coming from. That's the problem here, is we're not clear. Is this from the Koch brothers? Who was behind it? And it's kind of ironic because Christie, as U.S. attorney, was known to be a bipartisan afflicter of shadowy, corrupt politics as usual. I mean, he put away some 130 politicians from both parties. So this kind of undermines his underlying image as someone that's tried to be about a new kind of transparency.
Tom in Seabright, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
You know, obviously, I live in Jersey, and there's a lot of people that don't really like Christie, and I'm just wondering why there isn't other attack ads against him, pointing out all the negative things he's done. Like, whoever's funding these ads for him, you know, obviously they want him reelected. So, who has he been helping? He's protecting the millionaires. He lost education funds. He killed the tunnel. He's cut back on regulation. He wants to take funds from the Council on Affordable Housing.
Tom, I'm going to leave it there because we don't need to run down the entire Christie agenda as seen by you. But it's fair to say, Bob and Nancy, that sure, a lot of people in New Jersey like Christie. A lot of people in New Jersey don't like Christie. And I think the question that Tom's trying to zero in on here is this 501c4 issue ad spending only a Republican thing? Or why aren't there also anti-Christie, loosely affiliated with the Democratic Party, parallel organizations spending money on the reverse kind of advertising?
Well, it's a lot of money, number one. And, you know, and I think, as Bob said a moment ago, the teachers union does have money and it has spent money advertising against Christie. So, you know, we've got that. But, you know, then you've just also got, I mean, there is a sort of an abuse going on of these 501c4s. And
both parties do it.
Big picture across the country. I mean, the issue here is that since Citizens United, we really have a new landscape. And when I talked to Jeff Brendel, who is the executive director of New Jersey's Election Law Enforcement Commission, you put it in the context, Jeff was pointing out, New Jersey has some of the most stringent campaign finance laws in terms of disclosure. So this is a new chapter, and they are anticipating, they've already seen an exponential increase in the use of these. And so there is some move afoot in the legislature to require that there be some kind of disclosure, because it could theoretically make New Jersey's campaign finance laws irrelevant.
Our political reporter and investigations editor, Bob Henley, the New Jersey Public Radio managing editor, Nancy Solomon. To change topic a little bit for our last few minutes, now that we know that Paul Ryan is on the ticket with Romney, where does that leave Christie? New Jersey Democrats were quick to say that Christie was judged unfit to share the ticket with Mitt Romney. You know, there are a lot of qualified candidates out there, so maybe that's too harsh.
I think there's one big pro and there's one big con for what happened over the weekend for Christie. I think, number one, every time in every article it gets repeated that he wasn't picked because he chased a guy down the boardwalk yelling at him because of a heckler, and that he might go rogue, or that he's got, you know, too much of a temper. Like that got repeated in every Jersey story, and that hurts him. But I think the silver lining for him, and I'm sure, you know, this is no surprise to Governor Christie, if Romney does not beat President Obama, Chris Christie is in great shape for 2016.
I mean, also look at the underlying – we talked about narrative before. Chris Christie's narrative is that he's tried to introduce across the country is this notion of bipartisan, principled compromise. And, you know, with Romney's choice, that's not the way he's going right now. He finds himself in an anemic national political moment where he has to galvanize the base he failed to capture during this long slog of a primary season. So I think actually Christie's brand is enhanced here. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. He's only been in for 2.5 years. And in order to really be, you know, if he delivers on his reforms and turns around the state like he said, in by 2016 he'll have something credible under his belt.
And there are still rumors circulating that he'll be asked to deliver the keynote address at the Republican convention. We'll see if that comes about. But one other story. This is a big week in New Jersey for medical marijuana. The program passed 2 years ago, but it really kicks off this Thursday. And I've read that a portrait of Governor Christie will hang in a dispensary, a medical marijuana dispensary in Montclair. That's according to the head of the Greenland Compassion Dispensary, who said it to ABC News. The portrait of Chris Christie in the marijuana dispensary. But what actually happens on Thursday, Nancy?
Well, the portrait's already hanging. They're on Bloomfield Avenue. It's the Greenleaf Compassion Center. So people can now go online and begin to register for
since last Thursday.
For their ID card. So if you have a doctor prescription that says that a letter from your doctor that says that you have AIDS, cancer, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma, Crohn's disease, and a few others, then you can go you have to go through several steps of all the right ID and a doctor's approval. You can register. Now, the only medical marijuana dispensary, this one in Montclair, that has been given the permits to grow marijuana is up and running, in the sense that they're actively growing the marijuana, and they expect their first crop to be ready in September. So the thinking is that the first actual marijuana will be available in September, and we've got 5 other dispensaries that have been approved, and they're going to start growing soon.
And we will have to leave it there with New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon and WNYC's Bob Henley, Contributing Editor for Politics and Investigations. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.